Amen. Thank you, Suzette. Totally my fault on the offerings. Just wait for it, because you will have the opportunity. We are in an exciting little mini-series, what's turned out to be, all around giving. Today is our last day, and we're combining giving with a bit of visioning today. And so I really want you to open your hearts to what God is speaking to you. And I pray that as we read scripture, as we teach, as we hear story from a number of different people, that God will challenge us. And that as he challenges us, we will respond. And that as we respond, his kingdom will come. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to read the first part of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this: "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Okay? In your mind, I want you to replace Macedonian with Sunshine Coast or with Seashelt. Okay? "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy..." Look, we just came out of this Advent series on joy, how relevant. "And their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations." Now, Paul is giving reference to this church in Macedonia that gave over and abundantly out of joy, and it exceeded anything that they seemed to have. He uses this as a reference. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, I want you to turn there to verse 10. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now, we've talked 2 weeks about the heart, or about what giving is, and it really is not about dollars and cents. Giving is about heart. It's about our heart, disposition towards Jesus. It's about our relationship with God. It's about understanding that God owns everything. The things that we have aren't really ours. They're actually God's. And we've done a lot of heart challenge over the last couple weeks. And today we're really going to gain some traction. We're going to hit the ground. Now, what I want us to specifically consider, where I want to challenge us with, is a 90-day giving challenge. Now, this is something that the board has talked about and has put its stamp of approval on, and wants us as a church, as a community, to consider increasing our giving. Now, the reason we didn't mention this 2 weeks ago was because before you hear about a challenge to give more and go, "Oh, it's all about money, the church is just trying to get our money," we needed to establish really clearly, that it isn't about getting your money. What it is about your heart. When we hold back our giving, we're holding back from receiving the blessings of God. God gives us seed. If we take that seed and we keep it tucked away in the seed box and don't plant that seed, we're not going to harvest anything, are we? And so the giving challenge is this: wherever you are at, will you consider? Now, little highlight here. We're speaking really specifically to Crossroads members. We're speaking, secondly, to those who call Crossroads home but aren't yet members here. If you are a visitor, take this 90-day challenge and apply it at your home church, wherever that home church is. Okay? But here's the first challenge. Move closer to 10% of what your income is. Now, if you're wondering about tithe and 10%, we talked about that in the last couple weeks. Tithe is an old covenant responsibility. and we are in the new covenant. But remember, Jesus fulfilled the new covenant, or he fulfilled everything that was demanded out of us. Jesus is the new covenant, and we go beyond what the old was. So here's the first one. Come closer to 10%. Okay? Now, if you are ready to make the next step, consider this for the next 90 days. And 90 days finishes on March 31st. Move to 10%. 10% of what your income is. Make that your starting place for giving. And we also talked about our tithe, our 10%, not being our ceiling, but really being our floor. And so you might be in the basement right now. That's okay. Just take a step up. Move towards the floor. Now, if you're already at 10%, here's your challenge. Move beyond 10%, more than 10%. The 90-day giving challenge. Now, the reason that we asked, or I asked Suzette to hold off on the offering right now, was because I want to give you some time right now in the next half hour or so to think about this and to pray about this. You may be sitting there saying, well, I'm not going to listen to you. You don't have authority over me, or something like that, or this is my money. You can't have, I'm not, I don't know what you're saying. You might be going, yes, let's do it, which is great. But what's really important here is that you have time to pray about this. So I want you to take the giving challenge, and you can leave that up there just for a little bit. Take the giving challenge, and I want you to pray about it in the next 30 minutes. At the end of our service, what we're going to do is have the offering taken then. Now, I want to share just a brief story about a friend of mine that I'm just getting to know now. His name is Sean. He attends here, and he's not actually here today. I had hoped that he would be able to come up and share with me or with us. But I'm going to share just a little bit on his behalf. Now, he was here over the last couple weeks as we've been talking about it. And Sean was in a spot where he didn't have a job, and there were other things going, and I'll let him fill you in on the other details. But what he did was hearing this preaching and teaching on giving, he took it and he thought about, okay, what do I do? First of all, I don't have a job right now. So he grabbed one of the stacks of offering envelopes at the back, and he took it home and he wrote this word on it. He wrote gratitude across the box. And all he did was he prayed. Now, what was really cool is I ran into Sean in a coffee shop, and he came, hey, I've got a story. Let me tell you my story. And so let me catch you up to that. He told me about this box. He wrote gratitude on it, and he tells me the next day he had three job offers. The next day he had three job offers. He was excited. He saw it as an answer to prayer. He saw it as God moving and responding in his life. And he's taking further steps now. Now, why do I share that? I share that because we are taking this teaching, which comes from God. We're applying it. We're seeing God move in our lives. Exciting, right? Now, today is going to be a little bit of visioning, a little bit of story. We're going to talk about what we're doing. We're going to talk about what we're going to do. As I prayed this last week, I said, God, is it time? Are we supposed to move into spiritual gifts this week? And what I heard was a prompting, no, because you need to show how you're working in my ministry, in my mission that I have called you Crossroads to. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, the next slides are going to be our vision statements. And so what I'd like for you to do is, so just that we're all united on the same page, is I can ask you to stand. Now, as you stand, you have the option to stay completely silent. I don't want you to speak these out with me unless you're going, yes, this is my church, this is what I want, this is the dream. If you're here and you're going, oh, I'm just checking it out, just listen. Okay? Just listen. Now, on the other hand, if you're a member, if Crossroads is home, if you are in line with these vision statements, I want you to read it out. Now, sometimes we do the read out and I go, okay, is there anybody there? And we have a little chuckle. Let's read it out from our hearts, from our very core, church. Let's speak these out. This is the first one. Take a moment and just read it through on your own. This can't be forced. Remember, our vision is our dream. It's where we look far off and we go, this is where we're going. We see a rapidly growing church that is responding to the love of Christ by carrying God's heart and mission to the coast, Canada, and the world beyond. Amen. Let's go to the next one. And just take a second and have a look through it. We see a church that enters so completely into God's presence that its people are always celebrating. A church whose worship is heard beyond its own walls, calling people to intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Again, just take a moment and read it through. We see a church where people are developed to live to the full capacity of their true identity in Christ. We see a people of sacrifice who lay everything down for God's mission, reconciling people to Him. Now, this is a beautiful one. This is a challenging one. And it's so important that we read this together and commit to it. You ready? We see a church committed to love even when it is difficult, having a spirit of forgiveness towards everyone, generously extending grace to all, loving others before they love us. Amen. We see a church where people are healed in heart, mind, soul, and body by the power of the Holy Spirit, experiencing and living in the freedom that comes from life in Christ. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Now, we recognize that we are not yet at that place. But everything that we are doing, all of our movement, all of our preaching, all of our worship, all of our midweek energy is going towards seeing that vision come to fulfillment. And if you're ever wondering, I love the way that sounded, where is it? If you go onto our church website, in the About section, it says Vision, Mission, Values in that first heading. It's always there. Remind yourself of it. When you're feeling a little bit lost and a little bit directionless, return to that because it gives you direction. It shows where we're headed. Now, that's the vision. That's the far-off dream. The mission comes next. This is what we do. This is how we are moving towards that. And it's two words, two really simple words, pursue and encounter. Pursue and encounter. And we understand that the first part of pursuit is God pursuing us, God chasing after us, God saying, I love you. I want you to know me. I want you to be free. It's so essential that we understand that that's the first part of pursuit. What happens when we meet God then is an encounter. And that encounter changes our lives and it moves us into a circle. It moves us into a circle where we're continually pursuing God, where we're continually encountering Him. And that is what we're doing as we're moving forward, as we're taking steps. Now, what I want you to do as we hear these stories that are coming today is I want you to listen for pursuit and encounter within these stories of God's pursuit of us, of our encounter with Him, and then the ongoing pursuit of God. And then our mission really is the pursuit of everybody around us. And last thing before we move into the stories are our values. Now, these are values that we came together on that were compiled from a different a broader survey that was taken and then worked through. And these are the values that we came up with. We value first God's presence. We value people. We value discipleship. We value passionate worship. And we value freedom. Now, if the vision is the dream and the mission is us, what we're doing as or how we're getting there, this is who we are as we're going. Now, I was thinking last week that we're missing one word on there. And that's because we're not quite there yet. But I believe the word that we're missing is generosity. Generosity with our money, generosity with our time, generosity with ourselves. Now, what's going to happen over the next few years as we grow, as God shapes us, as God cultivates us, our values might shift a little bit. And my prayer, and I pushed us really hard on this last week, but my prayer is that we will move towards having a value of generosity. Do you agree? Yeah, that's good. Okay. Now, this first video that you're going to watch, before I explain that, we're going to break today into two parts. The first is, here's what we're doing. These are things that we are active in. This is how we are at work right now. So when you tithe, when you give your tithe to God, what happens is that tithe goes into our church budget, and we join with God on his mission. And we're really serious about that. That's why we've done all of this legwork in defining it and describe it. Now, today we're going to show you what we're doing. That's the first part. And the second part is what we dream of doing or what we want to do. So this first part, these first three stories are going to be what we are doing. And now this first video is Freedom Session that's coming up this week. Now, in beautiful fashion, we've almost filled up our list for our first intake of Freedom Session. There are a few spots remaining. If you watch this video and you go, wow, that actually is for me, and I need that right now, I want you to put your name on the list at the back, and what we'll do is we'll enter it into a waiting list if we top up over the top of that. But go ahead and watch this video right now. It's the Emperor's new video. For those of you who haven't heard of Freedom Session, just let me know when it's ready, boys. For those of you who haven't heard of Freedom Session, what it is a healing and discipleship program. And the night is broken into two parts. It's compiled of a main video teaching that's about an hour long, and then it's broken into gender-specific small groups. And what we're going to watch and hear from are people that have moved through this program. All right, you know what? You guys work on that. Mike and Bill, we're going to switch our order up here a little bit. Now, remember, this first part is about what we are doing right now, about where we are active and moving forward. And Mike and Bill are going to share with us. Mike and Bill both serve on the Syrian Family Working Committee. And I see your green light's on, you're good to go.
I'd like to begin by reminding us of a story. And we talked about this already this morning at how so much of our backgrounds are about story. And this is a story that all of us know. All of us have heard. All of us have been impacted by over the last 3-4 years. That's the story of Syria. It's the story of a beautiful country that has been brought to its knees by violence, has been brought to its knees by non-Christian things that have gone on. People have fought over the land. People have died over the land. People have escaped the land with nothing but what they have on their backs. They have lived in very difficult circumstances. The world has been generous in how it has accepted so many of them, yet there is still so much to be done. But here on the coast...
We'll just pause that for now.
Here on the coast, there was a group of men and women who heard those stories, and their heart went out to them. And they felt that they needed to do something. They gathered together. They came from a wide range of churches and non-church community groups and came together to say that we want to do something. We are going to bring Syrian families to live in a new life here on the coast in Canada. That wasn't an easy approach. When you get a large number of group of people, they all have differing expectations, differing agendas, perhaps, if you will. And yet, there was one commonality, and that was to help God-directed people to come to the coast that we could support and help to build a new life. And we've done that. We're part of the working committee, a large group of volunteers here on the coast who have committed a great deal of their time, a great deal of other resources professionally and in economically, and yet they have all come together to do something that is just amazing. It is to help the people of Syria to live a new life.
Good morning.
Sorry, Bill.
When I first heard about the opportunity to give to this cause, I was overwhelmed. You know, watching the news, it was so horrendous. And then to have the opportunity to do something was like, oh, I could actually help. And it was very, very inspiring. And the most amazing part was how it inspired people in our church and in other churches in our entire community, which was overwhelming. We've had tremendous support. So many people have been so willing to give of themselves all along. We've been able to provide them with housing because people who own the houses were able to reduce the rent for these people for a certain amount of time, which has been very wonderful. We've had generous employers offer employment to Rita, Michelle, Daniel. We've had so much support from many, many of you in terms of housing support, or beds, TVs, sound systems, kitchen stuff. It's been amazing. We've had tremendous support from our community in even getting a truck to pick up all of that stuff and take it to the houses. And even getting a van from one of our dealerships here to go pick up the people at the airport, which has been really, really wonderful. At this point, both families are very settled, and many of you have met both families. And Daniel and Larice are here quite often. Rita and Michelle, Giselle and Nardine, less so, but they're either going here or at CLA and Gibson's. Rita, Michelle, Daniel, all are employed, which is amazing. On this coast. The girls are at Kinnickinnick Elementary School and they are flourishing and their English is, well, they're like sponges. They're involved in gymnastics. They've got music lessons. They're becoming part of the community and it's really, really wonderful. But the very best thing that we, I'll read this part. But the very best thing is that we think we are giving. However, they have given to all of us so much more than we have been able to. Sorry. Oh, I was at a memorial yesterday, and the guy said, when you get emotional, you don't apologize. That's part of being who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you know me, I get emotional. They have given so much more to us. After they all that they have been through, and to continue to go through, being separated from family and other relatives, their countenance is amazing. The way they want to repay and give back, the way they're so thankful to Canada for taking them in. They want to be Canadian. They're so thankful to God. If you have watched Larissa, and her hands up, she says, thank you, my God. If you have seen that, that is just such a telling story of where they're at and how thankful they are to God for what God has done to them, even after all that they have been through. And I think most and importantly is that they have become wonderful, wonderful friends, not just to this working committee, but like our knitting group, our outreach knitting group. Larissa has become such an integral part of that group. They love her and she loves them. It is such a wonderful, what we've received is so much more than what we have given. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mike and Bill. You know what, let's give thanks to God and let's give thanks to Mike and Bill for the work here. Beautiful. I think what we're going to find today as we move throughout these stories is that these are only a few of the ministries and things that we have going on at Crossroads. There are a number of areas that are not being mentioned today. It's not because they're not valuable, they're invaluable. All of these ministries are. It's just that these are the ones that we're talking about today. Now, how are we doing for a freedom session? Green light? All right, let's watch this. That first part is the challenge that people are moving through. And it looks as though the full trailer is not going to come together for us this morning. And so what we're going to do is we will put that into an email link and we will send that out to you this week to give you a glimpse. What comes next is you heard all the struggle from those people, the struggle that they are facing in their lives. And the reality is each and every one of us here are facing struggles, some kind of struggles. And this Movement Through Freedom session works because it's centered on Jesus. And what it does is it moves to the very core of our being, addressing the layers of dysfunction, addressing the sin, addressing the areas that aren't right, and makes space for God's Spirit to do His work. And this happens it takes a commitment to do this program. It's essentially 2 10-week courses with an 8-week follow-up. And this year at Crossroads, we're going to do the 2 10-week sections. Each night, there is a teaching time, and then you move into gender-specific small groups. And then during the week, there's homework that you process and work through. Now, you may be sitting there going, yeah, I'm struggling, but I'm not ready to do that. That's okay. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I've got everything together. I'm good, so I don't need that. And then you're fooling yourself. Because we all need the work of Jesus in our lives. We all need the ministering of the Holy Spirit. We all need that healing and freedom. And it's not that we just need it once and then we're good. It's that we need it every single day. And this is a program, a course, that helps us to develop that every single day type of mentality. Now, if it doesn't work for you this time, that's okay, because our goal is to offer it again next year. And ultimately, our goal, speaking of visioning, is that everybody who is intentional about becoming a disciple and a disciple maker, everybody at Crossroads will go through that. So if it doesn't work this time, keep it on your radar for next time. Now, do we have our second video? Is that one going to work? Okay, let me frame it a little bit. Now, this is a video that we have seen again, and it highlights one of our ministries that we do at church, and that's Athletes in Action. Now, Noah Robinson, son of my brother Guy and Jill here, is the one featured on here. When we listened to it first time, we watched it because it was a result of his testimony for his baptism. Today I want you to remember that, but I want you to also consider the way that Noah relays his coming to Christ. And I also want you to hold in your hands, in your mind anyways, the reality that there were 78 kids that were involved with Athletes in Action last year. The year before that, it was around 55. The year before that, it was around 40. And our first year, we had about 25. So each year, we've been growing and growing and growing. But here's the thing. The majority of the kids that are at Athletes in Action are not church kids. The majority of the kids don't come to Sunday school and hear the gospel, don't come to church. These kids are actually having the opportunity to hear gospel. So go ahead, hit that. Amen. Yeah, we celebrate. We keep celebrating. I love how Noah said, good and proper forever. I needed Jesus good and proper forever. We all need Jesus good and proper forever. Now, again, those three ministries are ministries that are happening right now. And I'm so excited about our Athletes in Action camp. What I believe happened there was Guy and Jill had planted a seed early on in Noah, and it came to fruition at that camp. What I believe that camp does is it brings those seeds to fruition for the seeds that have been planted earlier, but it also plants seeds. When the majority of those kids aren't in Christian homes, aren't attending church, aren't coming to Sunday school, they get an opportunity to hear about God's love, to hear how God is pursuing them. They have an opportunity to encounter God, and we don't hide that. Clearly, it says Crossroads Community Church on our advertising. Some people call and say, is there any religious content? Well, yes, we have a thing called Coach's Corner where the kids talk through Bible stories and explore different elements in that. And there have been one or two that pull back from that. But largely, parents are sending kids, and we are excited about this opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so those are a couple of ministries that are happening. Not the only ministries, but a couple of ministries. What we're going to do now is talk about one ministry that is happening, but there's potential for more. So I'm going to invite Peter, if you can make your way up here. Peter Metcalf has been reinstated this year as our youth lead. So good to have him back, isn't it? Let's welcome him. Thanks, brother.
So if we're going to talk about youth, I want to talk about my experience in youth back in the day and kind of paint the picture for you. And if you want to get the full picture, you got to imagine me not like this, but with braces and riddled with acne to the point where you can't really see my facial expressions. But if we go back that far, I had a youth pastor, and his name was Frank Bonkowski. And he was on the coast working full-time to create a youth program that was incredibly broad and incredibly deep. And when I say broad, I want to sort of paint the picture for you of what my week looked like in high school. On Monday night, we got together, about 30 or 40 of us, and we did Bible study, where the entire hour and a half or 2 hours was in small groups going through the Bible, all right? And then, we went to school, kept going. Thursday night was outreach night. So that was the night that all the kids, and at the time, the high school had about 1,000 kids going to it. Now it's got about 600. But back then, on an outreach night, when we went and played games, we ran around the community, and people called the police on us and all sorts of things. We had about 100 kids a night coming, or more, coming to those events because they were big, and kids in this community are bored. And it was a way of serving the community by giving them something to do. Keep on going. Friday night, I would hang out with my non-Christian friends. Saturday, often, I would get picked up by an older student named Tyler McMullen. And he went to the youth group, and he was our friend with a car. All right? I was in grade 8, and he was even older than my brother, who's really old. And he got to know my brother, and he said, you know what, if I'm picking up your brother, I might as well pick you up. And we would go for a hike, or we would go to the beach, or we would just sit at the pier and make fun of each other. But he took it upon himself, being a grade 11, 12 student, and then even on older, to sort of take us under his wing. And he'd always pile his maple-colored Chevy Cavalier, and we would drive around in that. You can't do that anymore because now you have the N licenses. But back in the day, that's what you could do. Sunday after church, we'd all get together at McDonald's, the youth who were going to Bible study the next day. And we would just get and chat. I remember one time I ate 10 cheeseburgers at once because I was dared to. Not all the cheeseburgers made it home. Anyways, sorry. And then after Monday, sorry, I forgot this. On Tuesday after school, we ran junior youth. And that was with a young woman named Jen McInnes. And she was hired part-time to work with Frank. So Frank had this huge vision, and then she picked up the pieces. All right? She made things actually happen. And I can remember amazing conversations with her. Now, what this did for us is, one, it gave us a foundation. When I went out into the world and went off to college, university, it really supported me to know my Bible. It supported me to actually have some answers. And when people said things and asked questions, I actually had answers. And I wasn't going, oh, wow, I'm completely knocked over by people's arguments. I actually had a foundation to go back upon. We mixed with different ages. And when we were going to high school, it really paid to know someone in grade 11 or 12 to look out for us. It became more of a home. You felt a bit more welcome. You knew a quite a depth of people, and it helped to have that kind of community. Those people watching your back was really lovely. It gave us an opportunity to serve. We served at Keats Camp at the springtime. We invited elementary school kids, hundreds of them, to Keats Island. We ran a camp, and the teenagers would run it. And that gave us a name and respect in the community. People saw us teenagers serving. And it gave us this bit of, yeah, we can do this. God is doing this in our community. And we can join in on that. And most summers, we would go out on a mission trip. We would go sometimes overseas, sometimes into Vancouver, sometimes into Chilliwack, and we would serve in a place in the summer, which is partly what we're doing now with Danielle. And later on, Frank challenged me to run the youth. Okay, he asked me to take over eventually, and he trained me, and that's the challenge that we give to our youth. And a lot of them are preparing themselves to do that, and I thank the older students for putting the work in that they do for the younger students. So right now, what do we got going on? We got Monday nights. Students show up. We play some games. I want to give them something to do. I want to give them community and a place to connect. Starting tomorrow night, we're starting Youth Alpha, which is a series where students learn about the basics of Christianity and start asking questions. We want to give them a safe place to ask questions, and we want to give them a bit of a foundation of the Bible. Now, what are we looking for? What still needs to be done? We're sort of missing, we have Athletes in Action, which is incredible, but we're looking for more ways to outreach. We're looking for people to join with me in serving the older students and the younger students. And ultimately, what I would really love is for our church to think about hiring someone. Hmm. And I just happened to have a chance to be up front on stage and they gave me a microphone. So I don't know if that's what the church wants, but that's what I'm saying I want. I think that's important. Yeah. I see you moving towards me. Stay back. Hey. Anyways, there's awesome things going on, and there's so much room for what could be. And I look back and I thank God for what I have had through those opportunities. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I was only, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, God, for what you're doing with our youth. The reason I moved towards him is because I saw a little bit of his notes already. I knew he was coming to the end. And the reason that I invited Peter up here was to cast a bit of vision. Because when you have that person that's investing in an area, whether it's youth or another area, there are things that God does. Come on up, guy. And I want us to think about that. The reality is, why are we talking about that today? That's part of the future. Our numbers have to increase. Our people have to increase. Our giving has to increase. Does that make sense? We can do it, church. We can do it. I asked Guy. Guy sits with me on the missions team, the group of us who are looking and exploring ways at getting involved in cross-cultural missions. So, Guy, why don't you bring us up to date with where we're at right now, brother?
So, as you all know, I've got a bit of a background in missions, and my desire is to, of course, get involved even more so in missions. A couple of reasons: I enjoy different cultures, I enjoy different people from other countries, learning from them and experiencing that. And I think there's so much out there to see and so much to experience. I think it's beneficial for anybody to go cross-culturally. Whether on missions or just whether you're just going out there to experience something else of the world. I think it gives us a good scope, especially in the missions. If you put it in the missions context, it gives us the insight into how God is working in another country, how those people are experiencing God themselves. We don't just see it in our own bubble, but we see it then from a different perspective on how people in other countries are encountering and meeting God, and then doing church as well, which can be quite an eye opener. So there's reasons why I think it's good to be involved in missions, and why I think it's good globally. We also there's the command of Jesus that you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Seychelles, BC, Canada, and the ends of the earth. He might not have put it quite that way, but it kind of works for me. So last year, the Global Missions team, we met a couple of times, and we talked about how the church could be involved in missions. What is it that we really want to see and for it to happen? And how is it going to look for us as Crossroads Church? What does Global Missions mean for us, and how do we want to be involved? And we came to really two conclusions. We want something that's going to be long time. So we're not just going to be in one place, hit it, paint a toilet block, and off we go. Sorry, that's my go-to missions trip, is that we go somewhere, paint a toilet block, and that's it, off we go, and we've done the job. What we wanted somewhere, we wanted a community. We could see this community, they need the skills that we have, and there's a phenomenal amount of skills in this church. We could see how we could impact them, keep impacting them, and continually impacting them throughout years to come even. And that would be our go-to place. Not just go somewhere, feel good, but have that connection, have that family that we're building in that one place. Whether it's a family from here that goes and works there and then we send teams out to it, or whether it's something that's already established. So we have a long-term goal, but we also wanted to, it's kind of like a holistic approach as well. We didn't want to tell people about Jesus. We wanted minister to the whole person, you know, the old give the man a fish, or teach a man to fish, should I say, and that's where we want to come from. We also wanted to help them spiritually and physically as well. So we connected with Christian and Mission Alliance, which is what the church is affiliated with, and we spoke to them. They've got a program going called Seamless Link, and that what that does is it puts a church in touch with a missionary on the field. You make a commitment to that missionary, the missionary makes a commitment to you, and you work back and forth between each other on how you can support one another. We then looked at one of Joel's old youth from when he was a youth leader, and this chap now works for Hungry for Life. Hungry for Life started out as they saw business, and would you call it a niche? They saw something missing within the church, and that's in Western churches or churches with plenty. They saw that there was a spiritual hunger within those churches. People who seem to have a lot sometimes can also feel that they have a void spiritually, because everything is met through financial needs, isn't it? Whereas the people in the people in a third world country, they're missing out on food, on provisions. So there's this hungry for life, hungry for spiritual life within the church, hungry for life in a Western country, in a third world country. And so what Hungry for Life does is they put those two in contact with each other. They facilitate that for the people within the church to go out, meet the needs of the people in the third world, and then they see a direct impact on the spiritual life of the church. When you as a church get involved in a third world country or get involved in meeting the needs of people, you yourself start to grow. Because not only are you going somewhere that you're uncomfortable maybe with, you're having to rely on God to meet your needs too. And then you grow yourself. So that's where we were with Hungry for Life. We spoke to them about opportunities then that the church could get involved with, and they came back with quite a few. There was a couple of ministries in Haiti, which isn't too far away for us to be involved with. Church planting, construction, and then compassion work. And also there was places in Malawi, Uganda, and Zambia that we saw maybe we could get involved in there. We haven't made any commitment yet. We're just waiting for the new year to start rolling, and then we'll start seeing where God is leading us. But at the moment, we're praying about how the church can be involved globally. And I think it's important that we do. We already have people from the church, as you well know. Chanel went out with Youth with a Mission, and she was away for 6 months, I believe, and served there in Africa, wasn't it, she went to?
Right, Belize and then...
Belize.
And then South Africa, yeah.
In South Africa, yes. Malachi himself is also looking at going out to Uganda and serving there for a couple of months, which we're all excited about. And we'll see where that leads. We'll see where God is guiding us. But at the moment, that's where we are with the Global Missions Team, seeing where it is that God wants us to get involved in and how he wants us to impact the world outside of these shores.
Brilliant. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Let's give Guy thanks. Thanks, buddy. So if you're like me, you're hearing these stories of what's happening, you're hearing this potential of what can happen or where we're looking to go, and you're going, wow, that's exciting. Now, the first thing that we need to keep pressing in and doing is praying, because this all relies on our hearing from God and being obedient to where God is calling us to be. The second is attached to this series is we need to give. We need to give because it orients our heart towards Jesus, and it also enables us to join God on the mission that he is calling us out to. And so I want to read from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Again, just these last two verses. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What God says here and what he says in other areas of the Bible is that when we are faithful, he blesses us back abundantly. And so this 90-day challenge that we're talking about, starting today for the next 90 days where you would commit to increasing your tithe, whether that's moving up towards 10%, hitting 10%, or going beyond, is something that I want to challenge you with. Now, from the board, if you, within those 90 days, or after, I should say, after those 90 days, if you have increased your amount of giving, you get to the end of those 90 days and you go, God didn't meet me at all, we will give you your money back, because we are so confident that God will respond as we enter and are obedient in this area of giving. So I want to say again, the challenge is 90 days that you would increase your giving, because God calls us to, because it's about our heart orientation, because it's about joining in the mission that he has for us. And if at the end of those 90 days, so I know that at the end of 90 days, we're all going to receive the blessing. And I want you to know that our family has stepped into this challenge. We're taking this challenge alongside those of you who decide to as well. We're increasing our giving. I know that when we get to the end of the 90 days, God will bless us. And so I want to invite you into that. Now, would you stand with me? Invite our ministry teams if you want to make your way forward. I'm going to invite our offering ushers up as well. And so I'm just going to pray, and after I pray, you can remain standing or you can sit down. If you could wait until the baskets have passed and made their way back up. But in this time of prayer, I want you to listen. God, are you inviting me or us to increase our giving? And if the response is yes, then ask how much. And then I want to challenge you to be obedient in that. And so, Father, we make space right now as your children. We make space because we have heard your call. You have pursued us. You have captured us. And so from this place, we just ask that you would speak to us right now. And so just take a few seconds right now, church, and pray about your giving and see what God says. And so, Father, we have stood here today together as Crossroads. We've spoken out these vision statements. And, Lord, together we ask that you would move us towards those. We ask that you would break down any barriers that we have put up. We ask that you would overcome any barriers that the enemy has put up. We ask that you would be drawing us, that you would be capturing our hearts, captivating us. And as we hold on to these two words, pursue and encounter, that we would begin to move forward. Show us when to step, show us when to pull back. Show us when to run, show us when to walk, Lord. We pray your blessing on our offering. We pray your blessing on our money. And we pray that you would use it to further your kingdom, Lord, to bring your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So go ahead and take a seat just while the offering passes. Continue to hold, continue to pray, and pray God's blessing on us all this week. Amen. Also, we're going to have the ministry time still functioning, so if there's any way that we can pray for you, or if you want to come and participate in communion, we welcome you to do that as well.